this week on Art of the Year, our whole award-winning encore show features two-time Grammy Award-winning pianist, diatonic harmonica player, and composer Howard Levy. An original member of Bela Fleck, the Flecktones, he's a world's foremost artist on the harmonica with numerous albums to his credit, including a concerto for harmonica and orchestra. Our spotlight's on the 2026 Lobeznik Art Festival, August 15th and 16th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is on Lakeshore Public Media and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. Our spotlight interviews are on Wednesdays on available at our website. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And a quick program note. Due to changes to the radio broadcast schedule at Lakeshore Public Media, Art on the Air will no longer be heard over the airwaves on Sundays at 7 p.m. Also, our spotlight interviews that were heard on Wednesdays will no longer air as a standalone segment. However, our whole program will still be available as a podcast from the Lakeshore Public Media website, as well as on your favorite podcast platform. And, of course, on the Art on the Air website archive, breck.com/AOTA. Our spotlight interviews remain part of our whole show and will continue to be published as a standalone segment on social media every Wednesday of that show's week. The spotlight interviews are always available on demand at the Art on the Air website, breck.com/AOTA. Of course, Art on the Air continues to be heard on WVLP 103.1 FM every Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. We'd like to thank you for your understanding and continued support of Art on the Air. We'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight from the Lobeznik Center for the Arts, the marketing director, Jesse Sexton. And she's going to tell us about some of the things coming up at one of the great annual festivals they hold there Saturday, August 15th and 16th. And she'll tell you all the details. Jesse, welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always nice to see you.
So what do you got going on there? This is the annual art festival, but tell us some of the details, food vendors, types of artists, how many artists and all that.
Yeah, sure. So this is our 44th year. We're really excited. We're going to have over 80 artists on our grounds and inside. We'll have some indoor artists that have been invited, some live demos. We're going to have the lace makers from Illinois doing a live demo Saturday, noon to 2 during the festival. So you can come in and kind of get a demo on lace weaving. It's really fun. We did a project with our Teen Arts Council with them. And then on Sunday, we'll have a dulcimer player named Tom Ross Bauer. He'll be doing live music from noon to 2 on Sunday. And then our food vendors, we have Cabo's, La Patrona. Super excited to have them back. They always have really great food. And then I believe we're also having, he's a hot dog vendor. I think it's called Stop 3 Deli Dogs. And so we'll be excited to have them as well. And we've got so many different artists that are going to be here, and a lot of them are new. So we're really excited about that. We've got some great returning artists like Samuel Yao. He does those really beautiful woven baskets. We have some, you know, great photographers like Scott Sternberg. He has usually a really large booth. He'll be back this year. And you know, we've got our favorite couple, the Brooks, Brian and Judith. They do the fiber arts and lawn sculptures. We've got some really great new ceramicists and jewelers. So we're just really excited.
Any, Can you mention any names of the new artists, Jesse?
Oh, yeah. So this year, one of our new people is going to be, they're called, it's Frank Kobelsek, and he's got these abstract wood wall sculptures. He was supposed to do it last year and wasn't able to join us. So we were really excited to have him back this year. And then we've also got a new potter. They go by Nanten Pottery. It's a Japanese style wheel thrown stoneware. And it's really beautiful. And then we've got some abstract oil painters. So there's Jerry Minnell is new. And the Artist's Eye is another artist that's new. And they also do traditional painting techniques from Asia. So that'll be really neat to have as well.
So what type of family activities will there be?
Oh, yeah. So we'll have our community mural out where we just had the deadline for submissions for young artists to submit a design that we'll create on a large panel for everyone to paint. So we haven't gotten the results in yet, but we're going to be really excited to have that on display again. I think it's the third or fourth year in a row. So anyone can come up and help paint. We'll have activities in the family tent like face painting. There's usually some sand art projects, or we've done kite making, wind chimes, some little crafts that you can come and do too.
The admission is kind of different on each day. Talk about how much that is on some days, and some days it's a little different.
Yeah. So on August 15th, Saturday, the admission is just $5. Kids 16 under, they get in for free. Veterans are free. LCA members are free. And $5, you know, is really just an easy price point. And it also helps fund our programming and our education programs as well. And then on Sunday is a free family day for everyone. Thank you to McDonald's of LaPorte County. So we're so excited that they've sponsored us again, and we'll be happy to, you know, do free admission on Sunday for everyone.
Now, what will be in, what's the current exhibit that are in the galleries that people can view?
Oh yeah. So we have Kindred Spirits, Margaret Wharton and Betsy Odom on display through October 25th. Really fun duo show of two female artists who make sculptures out of everyday items, unconventional items. And it's just a super fun, playful exhibit for all ages to see.
You also have that indoor exhibition. Is there a specific gallery that will have those spaces, or?
Yeah. So in our downstairs NIPSCO Education Studios, we'll have our three indoor artists, Richton Guy Thomas. He does 2D and fiber arts. And then we also have Alex Velasquez Brightbill. They were at Art Attack with us earlier in the spring. They do really beautiful printmaking. And then we'll also have Dalton Brown, and they do some really interesting 2D art that's almost mosaic-like of faces. It's very, very cool.
So gallery-wise, what do you have coming up maybe on the current exhibit?
Well, we're getting ready for another exhibit coming in the spring. There is one that's about like hyper-real, like very realistic artwork. And then we're also talking about a few other things, but we are just getting ready for the fall. We have an outdoor roving exhibit that will be coming. I believe it's called Homegrown. So in October, we'll have a moving art truck that will be taken around town.
That's a great concept.
Thank you, Nick.
So this is a really fun project.
In our last few moments, why don't you recap everything about the festival, how you get there, where you are, and everything?
Sure. So we're down here at 101 West 2nd Street, Michigan City, Indiana. We're right down here by the beach, right by the bridge. Parking will be free in the south lot of LCA. It used to be the You Are Beautiful lot. And so we'll have the parking available there. And you can just come into the festival, and we'll have food vendors, 80 plus artists on the grounds. We'll have some live demos Saturday and Sunday from noon to 2 inside our Heinemann Gallery. And you can always come in and cool off and check out our gallery shop.
That's Jesse Sexton, Marketing Director for Lebesnik Center for the Arts and the 44th Annual Lebesnik Art Festival, Saturday, August 15th and August 16th. Thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air Spotlight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program is brought to you by Emberforge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. Art of the Year listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
Hey, this is Bela Fleck, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are delighted to welcome Howard Levy to Art on the Air. Howard is an acknowledged master of the diatonic harmonica, a superb pianist, innovative composer, educator, and producer. He has taken the harmonica out of the role of a folk or blues instrument into the worlds of jazz, classical, and Middle Eastern music. Howard has released more than 20 albums under his own name. The two-time Grammy Award winner tours as a solo artist with Trio Globo. He is also a founding member of the Bela Fleck and the Flecktones and his band, the Howard Levy Four. Plus, he is also founder of Balkan Samba Records. I've watched and appreciated him for decades with my dearest friend, Bonnie Kola. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Howard. Magnificent seeing you.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Well, Howard, like we always like to know, and our audience always loves to know the background of our people. I call it their origin story. So tell us how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Well, I took a plane, actually. I grew up in New York, and my parents loved music, and so I was surrounded by a lot of classical music and Broadway stuff. And I started wanting to play the piano when I was very young. And as soon as they agreed to give me piano lessons, at age 8, I started improvising after the third lesson. And that led to my going to the Manhattan School of Music for 4 years and studying piano and theory. And, so I have a background in classical music, but I always was an improviser. And so as a result of that, making up my own music and then getting into playing rock and blues and jazz. Really, that's how I started out. And I got out to the Midwest when I attended Northwestern University back in 1969. I went to school for like 2 years, almost 2 years, and dropped out. Went back to New York City for a year and a half. And New York was a rough place in the early and mid-1970s. And boy, I moved back out here, and I've been here ever since. And I sort of put down roots here and had a very, very flourishing career, I have to say, being based in the Chicago area.
Well, I'm going to take you back to elementary school. So tell us what that was like, and tell us what the family dynamic was like in regards to music. Did the grandparents play music? Kind of describe your whole childhood.
The parents did, but my father sang, and actually he's still alive. He's 102 and he's still singing. He's got an operatic baritone voice that's really beautiful. And so I heard him singing in the house all the time, and they listened to opera a lot and Broadway stuff, and they had parties where friends would come over and play music together. Someone would play piano, someone would play violin. There was one guy who brought a trombone. So there was a lot of music in the home. And so, and being in New York, you know, that's the kind of the center of the musical universe in a lot of ways. And you have access to a tremendous amount of things. So as I grew, and my musical interest grew, I was able to go hear people like the best people in the world live, the best classical music, the best, all the touring artists that came through, and all the different kinds of pop and jazz, blues, everything was
so
there.
Exciting.
So I'm curious about what drew you to the harmonica, which is, as Esther indicated in her intro, is actually considered kind of a folkish type thing and taking it into the realm. One thing I've noticed about listening to your things in preparation for this is it almost can substitute for a saxophone in the jazz world in many ways. And the tone you get is it's different than what I usually a lot of times think of the harmonica. But what drew you to that instrument?
Well, I like everything you just said, so I'll answer the question. Back when I was in high school, we had a band, me and my friends, and we started out playing rock, and then we got into blues. And I just really fell in love with the sound of the blues harmonica, especially the Chicago blues players. And so I really wanted to play an instrument that I could put in my pocket and carry with me, and also to be able to bend notes, which on a piano, you know, the note is the note. And you can do some things like kind of little illusions of bending, but you can't really bend a note. And so I tried playing with absolutely no success at all until I got to college, actually. And my freshman orientation week at Northwestern, I went to a rally for the Chicago 7. Which probably a lot of your listeners do know who those guys were.
Yeah.
And I'll make the story short, because I walked out of there, and it was a very intense experience. There were like 500 of us crowded into this really small lecture hall, hearing all of these people speak, and, you know, Abbie Hoffman and Tom Hayden and Rennie Davis and David Dellinger and all those guys. And, you know, I didn't know a soul yet. It was my third day there. And I thought, well, what do I do? You know, what do I do with myself? So why don't I try playing the harmonica again? I had it in my pocket, and suddenly, like something happened. I could bend notes and play blues licks. I mean, like all the stuff, I knew what it was supposed to sound like, and it just happened like immediately. And so I was really excited. I felt like I had become a different person in the like the blink of an eye, you know? So, I just practiced obsessively on the instrument in my dorm room and any place that was resonant, like hallways and bathrooms, you know, any place that had good acoustics, while I was going to school and, you know, studying and playing piano in the Northwestern Jazz Band, which is, you know, which I was doing too. And I soon got frustrated because the instrument didn't have all the notes on it, even with all the bends that I could do. And I thought, what's wrong with this instrument? It's a musical instrument. It must have all the notes. And you can see I didn't do well in math and like that. I wasn't very logical. I was stubborn. And I discovered some techniques that allowed me to play the missing notes. I don't want to get too geeky about it, but I just tried every combination of everything I could think of. And one day this note that hadn't been there before popped out, one of the missing notes. And I very soon got three more. And then I got two more up on top of the instrument. And then I had a full 3-octave chromatic instrument.
Wow.
Wow.
So right now you mentor so many people, but you had nobody. I mean, this is just purely just experimenting,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Because, you know, I wanted to play the blues, but then after a while, I wanted to bring the instrument more like what the piano is, you know, or a saxophone or something. Like, how come I can't play these notes that blues guitarists can play this lick, and I can't play it on the harmonica? Why not? So, yeah. And I had never heard anyone do it before. I mean, years later, I heard a recording of one guy getting one note like that in 1931. Okay. Wow. That's how obscure it was. There's like two or three recorded examples that are totally obscure, but it was not in the mainstream at all. And none of the famous diatonic harmonica players did that at all. And there's a thing called the chromatic harmonica that has the button on the side. And so people said, well, if you want to play chromatically, why don't you play that? But that's a totally different instrument. It doesn't sound the same. And you can't really bend notes on it and get bluesy. So I know how to play it. I actually learned how to play it. But I never, especially in the last 20, 30 years, I never performed live on it, ever. It was just something I learned.
It's so interesting because when you listen to... I mean, you're quite aware that you're listening to a harmonica when it's played in that blues and folk genre, but the way you play it, it's just so transported, it's transporting. I forget that it's a harmonica.
Yeah.
And it's just.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. Like, it almost sounded like a sax. If you close your eyes, it almost has a sax, like a, I don't know, soprano saxy type sound and everything. And yeah.
I do play saxophone too. I mean, I stopped a bunch of years ago, but I play a lot of other instruments. So when I'm playing a harmonica in my imagination, I'm trying to channel the sounds of all sorts of other instruments into it, you know, violin and flute sometimes and saxophone a lot, sometimes trumpet, which I don't play, but in my imagination, trombone, all sorts of stuff.
I can see that because listening to you with the orchestras, I would just close my eyes and it's just seamless, really. It's just it's so beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah, that concerto, that's it's funny because the orchestra that commissioned it, they called me one day in like 1999, maybe it was, or 98, I can't remember what year. And they wanted me to play one of the chromatic harmonica concertos that were composed for Larry Adler, the great virtuoso of the chromatic harmonica. And I said, well, I don't really play that instrument, but if you're interested, I could write one for the instrument I do play. And they said, don't call us, we'll call you. And I never thought I'd hear back from them. And a few months later, they called me and they said, yeah, we're interested in you writing a concerto. I said, you are? Because I had no training in like orchestration or, you know, everything was pretty much self-taught, you know, beyond my 4 years of music theory when I was, you know, a kid in Manhattan. And so I had to write a concerto, and I did. And I think it turned out pretty good. And I ended up recording it in Prague in 2004, I think, with the Czech National Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Paul Freeman, who also used to conduct the Chicago Sinfonietta. Is a really, really good conductor. And I'm so happy that I actually got a recording of it, a professional recording of it done.
Yeah, it's tantalizing.
Well, you know, since you brought that up, we were going to play a different song first off, but let's do the concerto for orchestra. And I guess this is just one of the movements, the Etude, Tango, and Caprice. And let's take a quick listen to that, and then you can talk about it.
Thank you.
That was Howard Levy's Concerto for Diatonic Harmonica and Orchestra. That was the movement number 3 that you had. And so that's very interesting that you brought that up.
I know. For me, it was like a jumping, seamless, bright journey. And it was like grand and jaunty, and it made me laugh. I don't know. Here's the orchestra, but I'm laughing because it's just so bright. And
yeah. Well, it was a thrill to record it and also to play it in concert with them at their beautiful concert hall called the Rudolfinum in Prague. It was a very, very special feeling. And I've performed that piece about 35 times all over the world, and people seem to like it.
Yeah.
I've written another one. I have to let you know. My second concerto, which has a name so long that I can't remember it because it's a concerto, Eastern European concerto for single soloist on harmonica and piano.
Wow. So what's it like doing that? Where do you start and how do you, I mean, what's the first spark of it?
Wow. You know, this one in particular, this was commissioned by an orchestra in Florida. And, you know, I had a commission and a deadline, which is the first spark. Because it's hard to say, just sit down, I'm just going to write a concerto. Like, well, you know, why? You have to have the basic motivation that puts fear into you that there's a date that you have to finish it by. But a lot of this music, I truly love music from Eastern Europe, Bulgaria, Macedonia, Greece, and all the other countries around there. And so
the Bulgarian women's choir. Oh,
that's beautiful stuff.
Oh, so beautiful.
And so I really love playing stuff like that on the harmonica, but also on piano. And I decided, well, you know, my second concerto, instead of it being a harmonica concerto, why don't I do like everything that I can do? And this one is for full orchestra. The first one was for a slightly smaller orchestra. So this one has, you know, all the heavy artillery is there. And it's longer. It's about 35 minutes long, 4 movements. And one of the movements I play quite a bit of simultaneous piano and harmonica, which is something, if you've seen me play, you've probably seen me do that. Because I see the harmonica in my mind as a piano keyboard. Mm. It's the only instrument that is totally invisible to the musician who's playing it, and there's no fingerings. Right. And so you just have this thing in your mouth, and like you can't see it. So you have to visualize something mentally. Some harmonica players see shapes, colors, you know, whatever. But I see the piano keyboard almost all the time, in addition to shapes and colors.
Wow. Now, you don't just have one harmonica. I mean, I think it was the 10 holes kind of the standard, but you have a range of different ones that you play. And maybe tell us some of the difference of those.
Well, I just use the diatonic harmonica, the 10 hole, you know.
Oh, okay.
They come in all different keys, and I can play pretty much anything in any key on any of them, but there's a reason to want to use certain key harmonicas. I don't want to start demonstrating. I guess it'll turn into a harmonica lesson. But there are so many different kinds of harmonicas, and I'm proud to say that I don't use any other kind but this, basically.
So that's interesting, because I saw you switch harmonicas with the symphony. Now, are you switching keys, or are you just getting a fresh harmonica?
Either or. Actually, so you saw the video of me playing the concerto?
Yes.
The Evanston Symphony, that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Each movement of that first concerto uses a different key harmonica. Yeah.
Right. I saw you switching.
And sometimes if I switch in the middle of one movement, it means that I have like, you know, 2 or 3 G harmonicas. And if one of them is like, you know, is acting weird, I'll just quickly grab another one, that kind of thing. But that concerto, the first movement's for G harmonica, second movement for A harmonica, the third movement for C harmonica. I don't know why I did it, but I did it that way.
I don't know if you read the comments under them, but I was reading the comments, and one comment was, boy, you can tell how much they love him because they didn't make him wear a bow tie.
Yes, I didn't have to adhere to the dress code, being the rebellious soloist. Yeah.
So we want to talk about one of the other pieces you've done. It's in your album, Steering by the Stars. I think that's all the way back to 2010, In the Village. Tell us a little bit about that, and we'll take a listen to that one.
Well, that's with Trio Globo, which is just a really, really special group. with the great cellist and composer Eugene Friesen and the amazing percussionist frame drummer and composer Glenn Velez. And we've had this band together for actually over 30 years. And this is our third album. There's more recordings, actually our fourth recording. This band, it covers a very, very broad range of material of the Brazilian influences and Indian and Eastern European and jazz and classical. It's kind of a combination of everything. And there's no bass player. So the bass role is sometimes taken by the cello Pitts, which Eugene is like one of the, and this tune that you're going to hear, he's one of the most innovative and greatest cellists at playing pizzicato, and he has a fantastic classical technique, and his arco bowed playing is really great too. And Glenn on this one is just playing a very small tambourine. What is he using? I think he's using a rick, which is a Middle Eastern tambourine, R-I-Q. And he can make these little frame drums sound like a whole drum set, really. And I'm playing piano and harmonica simultaneously on this track. It was something that sometimes I overdub in the studio on these things, but this time I really wanted to do it simultaneously so that the flow is very organic. And I think I overdubbed harmonica in the final 25 seconds or something like that. So this tune is composed by Eugene, and it's called In the Village.
Well, let's take a listen to it on the Steering by Stars, and it's Howard Levy. Thank you. was In the Village, Steering by the Stars, Howard Levy, and you're listening to him on Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
Well, that felt like I was listening to like a tragic, complicated story that lightens. And so it felt like all the conversations you hear in a village, you know, it was just was just like that for me, just kind of bounced around.
Thanks. Yeah, that was what I played on piano was totally improvised, and it was so compositional sounding that I basically memorized it and play it note for note when we play live.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
So how does, you know, you're involved with so many bands and projects, you know, how, you know, is it just, oh, you're at a club and, you know, it just happens, or do they seek you out? Do you seek them out?
Oh, you know, everything happens differently. And sometimes I form my own bands, obviously. But a lot of the bands I've joined are just like chance meetings. Or somebody says, hey, here, listen to this guy. I heard about this guy, you know, word of mouth. Because, yeah, I've played with so many different people over the years and been a part of regular touring bands with people, very diverse. I used to tour with Kenny Loggins, you know, and toured with John Prine in the back in the day. I recorded on two of his albums in the late 70s.
Wow. I saw Dolly Parton in there, too.
Oh, Dolly, that was... That was the most wonderful experience. Yeah, I'm about 400 albums, I think. You want to hear the Dolly Parton story? Sure,
please. I would
love
a Dolly Parton story.
Well, Dolly met me at the front door of the studio. I was touring with the Flecktones, which I guess we'll talk about that a little bit too. This is one of our early tours, 1991, I think it was. We were playing out in L.A., and a good friend of mine was producing this album. It was a soundtrack for a movie called Straight Talk that she did. And... So I walked in, and Dolly opened the door of the studio, and she looked at me and went, oh, you must be the harmonica player that CJ told me about. He says you're the best in the world. I said, well, I don't know about that. But and she looked at me and said, you hungry? said, well, yeah, because I had, you know, had a late night the night before playing at the Roxy with the Flecktones. I had, like, stuffed myself into a taxi, took this long drive. I hadn't eaten anything. I had to get there on time. And she said, how'd y'all like a little Southern white trash lunch? I just cooked myself up some fried green tomatoes. You know, I could remember it word for word. And she was the sweetest and funniest person and more, much more than that, and spiritual too. It was just like amazing vibe. And I played and she loved what I did. And I walked out of there. I felt like I was walking on a little cloud about a foot above the ground.
I'm so glad to hear it, because that is just how I want her to be, because she's just like so sunny and lovely.
And especially with her books that she's distributing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can see by people's actions how they really are. You can see that she really cares about people.
Absolutely. I mean, she has a beautiful soul. I mean, just beautiful. And yeah, she flew me out to L.A. to play that song with her on The Tonight Show as well, which was a big kick with Johnny Carson. You know, I played The Tonight Show three times with the Flecktones, I think, and once with Kenny Loggins. But the time with Dolly really stands out in my mind. It's special.
I want to ask about inspiration that you had from other people that play the harmonica. You know, before we started, I brought up Toots Thielemann and everything. I became familiar with his harmonica playing on an album called Cinderella Liberty. I don't know if you're familiar with that album. All the way back, Paul Williams sang in it. John Williams actually composed some of the music. So, but anyway, who in your world was your inspiration?
Well, you know, many, many different people on many different instruments, because, you know, starting out, I started out being inspired by the great blues players like, you know, James Cotton, Junior Wells, Paul Butterfield. I say those were my favorites, and I got a chance to hear all of them live. So that was extra special for me. And in terms of jazz, I mean, Toots was genius, and I was very, you know, knocked out by what he did, but since we play different instruments, I couldn't sound like him. I didn't really want to sound like that because that's chromatic harmonica. So for jazz playing and all the other stuff, I'm just inspired by, you know, the greatest musicians who played other instruments, you know, John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, and all sorts of Middle Eastern musicians. And for the piano stuff, I mean, obviously, every great classical and jazz pianist. And so my inspiration is very, very broad. And Jaco Pastorius was a huge inspiration to me, actually, especially when I heard him, his version of Donna Lee recorded on fretless bass. I said, wow, if this guy can play Donna Lee on a fretless bass, maybe I have a chance to be able to play it on a diatonic harmonica. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my big inspirations was Jaco.
Interesting, because you've done with the harmonica, you and Bela sort of have, I mean, Bela has done, oh my gosh, just amazing things with that banjo. And so when did you two meet? Because you were a founding member of Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
Yes, I sure was. And we're actually about to go out on a few tours, which I'll talk about later. But we met at the Winnipeg Folk Festival in 1987. And he was up there with Newgrass Revival. And I was playing with a band called Trapezoid. I don't know if you remember them. They're really great, kind of like acoustic music, hard to describe. And one of the women in Trapezoid, Lorraine Dweezy, kept talking to me about that I should play with Bela, and she kept talking to Bela that he should play with me. And one night she just dragged me down the hall at one of these big after parties to where Bela was sitting, and we just started playing, and we ended up jamming until 7 a.m. My room with Lorraine and this guy Michael Aaron, who was there also, who was playing with Trapezoid. And that's what sort of sparked the whole band. And then Bela met Vic and Roy, you know, Victor Wooten and Roy Wooten. And then he got asked to do a TV show in Louisville, and they wanted him to put together an unusual band. And he said, well, I know some unusual musicians. And so the four of us got together, did that show, looked at each other afterwards and said, I think this is a band. You want to try to do this again? And that's how it started.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Like Kismet. It's amazing. So.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I was aware of Bela before, and I think I had even met him or heard him play with Newgrass before and was totally knocked out. But of course, Vic and Roy were total unknowns. And so it was just this coming together of four people who were each pushing the boundaries of their instruments and experimenting with the same spirit, you know. And so that's how that happened.
Well, we have another song that you've shared with us. It's from the Art and Adrenaline. I think it's a Steroid Chero. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll take a listen.
Well, this is a duo album with guitarist Chris Siebold, who's a fantastic guitarist. He can play absolutely anything, electric, acoustic. He's been Garrison Keillor's guitarist for like more than 10 years now. And we have a band together, the Howard Levy Four. Chris is the guitarist in that band. But we've also been a duo for, oh God, more than 20 years now. We've played duo gigs together. And so the Art Plus Adrenaline album is our one and only duo CD. And this is a tune I wrote when we were, as a result of traveling to Brazil, because I've toured Brazil a bunch of times by myself and also with Chris several times, and have a deep love and appreciation for Brazilian music. This is something that's one of my passions. And so this is in a style of choro, which is a type of music they play down there. And it goes through a whole bunch of different key changes, and it's really intense. And that's why I called it the Steroid Choro. It's a choro on steroids.
Well, let's take a listen to it. Steroid Choro on the Art and Adrenaline, Howard Levy. Thank you. Howard Levy on this in the Art and Adrenaline album, Steroid Hero. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
Well, that's so danceable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
got to move with that one.
It's a marathon for on the harmonica, too. It's almost nonstop. And Chris is playing a steel resonator guitar also, which is not usually an instrument you hear in that style of music. And I truly love the way that guitar and the harmonica go together.
You know, something we've asked our guests, and I know it's a few years in the past, but how did the pandemic impact you? Was that a creative period for you? Like, you know, because you were kind of locked, you know, but how did that impact you?
Well, it impacted me very heavily because I got it right in the very beginning. My wife really saved my life. The first week of March of 2020, I got incredibly sick. And I had to learn a lot of stuff about how to survive as a musician in this new environment of Zoom and the whole thing. But I ended up doing a lot of recording for a lot of people who wanted to hire me for stuff, you know, doing it remotely with, you know, I have Pro Tools here at home. And I put out a whole bunch of albums as well, some of them streaming, some of them physical CDs, the Howard and Jethro CD. It's all on my label, Balkan Samba Records. You can find all this stuff at levyland.com. I made a solo piano recording. Oh, God, what's it called? I can't remember the name of my own album. That's terrible. But it's really beautiful. It was all improvised, but they were like compositions that flowed through me because of my isolation. I was just visualizing other times and other places. And God, this is so awful that I forgot what it's called.
So Howard, was that the time that the online school started, or were you doing online lessons and critiques before then?
Oh, I was doing those before. Yeah. That was... That's ArtistWorks, yes. That's my harmonica, online harmonica school, which I am very proud of. I was one of their first teachers, and that started back in 2010. And that's been it was a life-changing thing for me because it put me in touch with a community of harmonica players from all over the world who are extremely appreciative of what I have to offer because I teach everything I know there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful to pass it along. So I don't know if we have enough time
for this. It's called Looking Inward, of course. That's what it's called. And I put out another one called Time Traveler that's like I sort of put myself back in the Renaissance and improvised pieces in compositions in that style on a bunch of different instruments. It's just a lot of recording. And also, I wrote two books, one during COVID and one of them afterwards. And they're called Rhythms of the Breath, where I transferred the concepts of drum rudiments to harmonica breathing patterns, single note harmonica breathing patterns. And it was a revelation to me. It's something that I had been doing for a while, but I never did it scientifically. And I think without COVID, I never would have had the time to sit down like a monk in a monastery writing an illuminated manuscript, you know? I mean, that's what it felt like to me.
I know there has to be a balance, doesn't it? The tragedy and the beauty.
Yeah, yeah. It was a tragic time, but a time of tremendous, of people looking inward, like the name of my record, and finding things that they, in the course of normal, busy life, would never fixate on those things. And so I'm very proud of my books. There's actually two of them, and there's more stuff coming out. It's like thanks to my wife, who is my editor and organizer, we were able to put these things out, and they're all available.
Does she play music?
No, she doesn't. She does everything else about as well as a human being could.
Well, you know, Howard, we have only about a minute left. Is there any projects coming up? This show will air early September, but anything coming up in the next short thing? And then tell people how they can find out about you. I think you mentioned your website once, but do it again.
Yeah, it's levyland.com. Absolutely everything's there. I'll have a tour with the Flecktones between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the big holiday tour. And we might be playing in Indianapolis. I can't remember.
And Chicago.
How about Chicago, though?
And we're in Chicago, too.
We're near Chicago, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And all sorts of other stuff going on. I mean, just there's always a lot of other stuff going on. And also my YouTube channel has a collection. I'm putting things out on social media, this thing called Music Legends You Should Know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been watching them.
Oh, thank you. I'm really, really proud of it. These are, you know, it stemmed really from my desire to have a radio show where I just turn people on to things I love. And so I get to do it now online and just get a huge audience from all over the world, musicians from that I've covered, like Nikhil Banerjee, the great Indian sitarist, and Jelly Roll Morton, and Harry Lukovsky, this incredible classical jazz violinist.
A Hungarian woman that I just listened to. I can't remember her name right now.
She's Romanian. Her name is Clara Romanian. Haskell.
Oh,
absolute genius.
Brilliant.
Just genius. And there's more coming. So I try to pick people who really turned me on.
Right.
You know, and some of them are famous and some of them are not.
Well, you know, we are out of time, unfortunately, but it's been a pleasure meeting you and talking to you. Howard Levy, he's a musician, a Flecktone, levyland.com, and you can listen to that, find out a whole bunch of information, and reach out there, and we'll have on his picture on our website, we'll have a link to that webpage. Howard, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your art and music journey.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Abundant love.
Oh, thanks, Esther.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is on Lakeshore Public Media and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell it to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are on Wednesdays, available at our website. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. We'd like to thank our current underwriters, Ember Forge Consulting, thoughtful marketing and digital learning built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art. and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.